There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. And a lot of ways to get in touch with the show. The fastest ways, probably the phone call or the text line at 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. You can also use the TalkBack feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app to record a message, email it to the show. And I can play it back here on the air. All right. And by the way, side note, I'm gonna go ahead and retweet, repost, whatever you do here. Check at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter and tell me what you think about this. This is we'll talk about it later in the show. They're trying to shoot drones. Got some special forces guys that should be able to shoot drones out of the sky. And I just open question here: Somebody who can shoot doves do better than these guys? I want you to go watch the video and you can let me know on the text line or over on X. All right. Without further ado, we get our friend on Todd Stacey. He's with the man behind Capital Journal, which we'll get into this last week's Capital Journal and Alabama Daily News. Todd, what's happening?
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I've got a couple things before we get into what happened on Capital Journal, also about Algop dismissing the residency channel challenge, and then also tomorrow's primaries. First of all, let's talk about the most important stuff, and that is Europeans seeing the United States and liking it. The German guy, whatever the German guy is, I saw you were on Twitter.
Freddie,
the German guy. You had reposted and commented on his stuff, too. I think he's getting a big following.
Oh, yeah. Don't you just love this? I mean, and it's I think there probably are some, like, posers out there, but Freddie just seems completely organic. And he and I guess his friends, big soccer fans, they're going to all kinds of World Cup games and start out at the one in Auburn because you got Argentina and Messi, and they're just blown away. You know, blown away by the size of the stadium, by the energy in the stadium. I guess they're just not. I mean, I think they're a little smaller in Europe, but then it's Buc-ee's.
Yeah, the Buc-ee's part. Yes.
And then it's Walmart and Bass Pro Shop down there. He makes it to Mobile Bay. That might have been my favorite because that's when it almost felt like this can't be real because he's pulling in.
Yeah, Fairhope Pier. You can see him coming down
the Fairhope Pier.
Yeah.
Right as like sunset is happening, which is just, I mean, it's gorgeous. So yeah. I love it. Of course, he's not the only one. All these Europeans are, and Japanese too, and we highlighted it some on Capital Journal. I said, you know, sometimes maybe it takes looking through a foreigner's eyes to be reminded of just how great this country is and how great the state is. And I think that's true.
No, I think it is true. I think the flip side of it, though, I started thinking about it, you know, you can't blanket, you know, people in Europe, but having spent time there over the years, you know, they don't, I think if I did if I went over and did the all shucks thing, hey, here I am at Die Schwanstein Castle, right? Or, you know, here I am, here I am at Big Ben Parliament, whatever it is. I don't know that I would get the react. They'd say how charming that was. It's funny. We love it to see our country through their eyes, but you know,
it'd be interesting. And I think, and the South is interesting too because
sure.
I mean, come on,
they've been told
surprised.
Something about us. Yeah, they've been told.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw another one going to a Waffle House and interacting with the ladies there, and I mean, we're just hospitable here, man. We're nice, and I think that's the big thing is, obviously, in England and other countries, it's not like they're mean, but I think they kind of keep to themselves, and we're pretty friendly, man. But yeah, I can't get enough of that content. I think it's terrific.
Okay, one last thing before we get in the meat of this. Next time you have Senator Britt on, you're talking on the show, ask her what Anna Paulina, well, here, I'll play the clip. She said this earlier on Jeff's show. I'm going to play just a little snippet here.
Anna Paulina Looney, Luna right behind us.
She said the Looney thing. Called her Anna Paulina Looney. She corrected herself.
Oh, a little Freudian slip there.
Yes, I heard that, and I said, well, I wonder if the senator was trying like stuff words back in mouth as fast as possible. Yes,
that's fine.
Looney. All right, that's out there. We'll play that clip probably again here coming up in the show. So let's get into the mix. Tomorrow, we've got the biggest primary runoff we've ever had, but it's, probably top 10 for the state.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's a really big one. Got Senate top of the ticket, also Lieutenant Governor, AG. I mean, just think about the consequential nature of that. I mean, you're talking about electing a senator who could be there for 20 plus years.
Yeah, as senators go, they could be there till they're in their upper 90s, man.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you never know, but it's really. I mean, you kind of want them to be there a while for seniority, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the Lieutenant Governor. Heartbeat away, but also could one day be elected in his own right. That's hugely important. Attorney General, people may not realize how important the Attorney General is in this state. It's a big, big deal. So yeah, a lot's on the ballot, and I hope people won't sleep on it. I'm worried about low turnout. You gotta get out to vote.
And we can dissect these. We'll come at last here to the Senate because you had a discussion with both candidates in the Republican side. But let's go to AG. This is, how we had said we were kind of surprised that this session, in Montgomery was as busy and as tumultuous as it was. This for AG, this is knock 'em, rock 'em robots here. Sock 'em, sock 'em. It's gotten pretty nasty.
It has. I think that was predictable. It's unfortunate because I wish it was higher minded, but I guess it all kind of started with the accusations of quote unquote dark money. And I mean, that's a fine term to use, but Katherine Robertson got the coveted endorsement of this national legal group, these conservative lawyers from around the country, Leonard Leo. He's this guy that works behind the scenes to confirm Supreme Court justices. And they gave her $1 million. I think maybe more than $1 million. That's a lot. That's a lot to get started. And so right when that happened, Jay Mitchell starts just beating her up over dark money, dark money. I mean, there was some evidence that he might have wanted that money too. But anyway, so, I mean, I've gotten mailers and everything, her calling her corrupt and all that kind of stuff. And so, of course, she's going to fire back. And I mean, I saw a silly little ad from her today talking about how Jay Mitchell's a woke, weak Islamist something. I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's stupid stuff.
Yeah. And so you wonder if anybody is convinced by any of this. And I'd like to think, okay, the first one that stands up and just tells me what they're actually going to do as Attorney General, I'll vote for.
Yeah, well, wait on. Don't hold your breath. Let's talk about the Senate race. You had both men on Capitol Journal. You had Hudson and Moore on, and let's talk about your impressions there. And something we'll talk about in the second hour too. I have some folks coming by to talk about this veteran question. Is that yesterday's news? Is that done now?
Well, it wasn't on Friday, and that's when the interviews were. And so I wanted to talk to both of them about it. I mean, I wanted to talk to Barry Moore to specifically, number one, give him a chance to just address the issue, but also ask him the question that it's important to me, and that is, did you go too far? You know, was it a mistake to go that far and saying, I know what it's like to lace up boots, and I know what that feels like, and because that I don't blame anybody for thinking that that's trying to claim that you served overseas, right? And But, I mean, he answered it, and he talked through it, and that's fine. But I think it's important to be able to ask those questions and see how they respond. And same thing for Jared Hudson. I wanted to be able to ask them the question, do you risk offending National Guardsmen, reservists, by diminishing their service, by saying that doesn't qualify as veteran or whatever? And he answered that. He obviously didn't think so. But I think it's important to be able to hold these folks to account. And I encourage your listeners to go and watch those interviews or listen mm-hmm. via the podcast, because it was illuminating.
And then the other question, where does Senator Tuberville live most of the time? Where was he a resident as of 2019? It looks like Al Gop, even though they did take it up, which I appreciated, they said they dismissed the residency challenge.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, this is an expected outcome. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I agree. It's good they had some kind of official thing, so it's not.
I do too. Whether don't you versus them just saying nothing about it? I think it's way better that they went through the process here.
Yeah, I think so. Now I've got some. I can quibble about that a little bit because press wasn't allowed in the room, and I think that's a problem. There's mm-hmm. there's some kind of constitutional questions about this to begin with. Why does the political party have subpoena power? I don't know how that. Works out. No, we may need to address that in the legislature. But look, we've been talking about this for over a year. I think some of our initial reporting on it has now been kind of confirmed. There's no legal case, in my view, to keep him off the ballot because of constitutional requirements. You can not like the fact that he spends a lot of time at his beach house.
Right, but that didn't violate the law.
Including as his time as senator. His mistake, and it was a mistake, has been doing that, like going down to Florida rather than spending more time in Alabama as a senator. But that's a mistake. It's not a crime. And so I just think this is... You know, and I'm also thinking about the spirit of the law. And, I mean, the guy came to Auburn in, what, 98?
Mm-hmm.
Spent about 10 years as coach. Went around, came back. But, I mean, he's been Alabama's senator for 6 years. And so, I mean, you're talking about the spirit of the law. I just don't think there's a problem there.
If right, you have a problem with him, to keep carpetbaggers out, right?
Exactly.
This is not... that situation if he's been senator all that time.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fine if you just have a problem with Tuberville and you want to use this as a way to, you know, criticize him or whatever, but I just don't see a legal case and keeping him off the ballot. And I'm sure the Democrats will bring one just to kind of raise it as an issue, but there's no way it actually works. And again, it's the voters out there, when you poll this, and I have seen some polling on this, they're not worried about it because they just, you hear Tuberville, there's a reason why Tuberville's winning as much as he has. It's because he has universal name ID because he's been around for a while. And so it doesn't make sense to the average voter. Like, okay, yeah, maybe he lives in Florida a little bit, but, or he spent some time in Florida, but if I had a beach house down there, I would too.
And the flip side, you kind of talked about this earlier, that we're talking about the attack ads and not what somebody would do as AG. Same thing here, that, you know, it's going to be all about the residency thing. I've missed it. I don't see everything. With Doug Jones coming out and talking specifically, well, he'd do a better job as governor than Tuberville.
I just don't see the residency thing as a winner. It is coded by party. Mm-hmm. Democrats and people that don't like Tuberville are all over it. Republicans don't care. And I don't think independents care either. And so if that's going to be their message in, you know, the fall, that's going to be a loser.
All right, folks, want
not to say you can't say something, you know, make it part of it, that's fine. But
I just
want to
hear, like,
message.
Yeah, if that's the only message, I want to hear, like, okay, I would do XYZ and they're going to do ABC and my XYZ is better. I mean, that's,
yeah, and I think we will hear that. But I'm glad that this is over with. Our reporting on this is a year old, and so it's like, all right, thanks everybody for catching up.
All right. People want to get signed up for that email so they get caught up. How do they do that?
It's really easy. You're going to want it for this election. Mm-hmm. Just go to aldailynews.com, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
And in addition, they can need to go back and watch. I mean, this is both men right here. You know, they could, if they didn't catch it Friday, they can watch it on the eve of voting. You got Hudson and you've got Moore, both on Capital Journal. How do they get that?
Just on YouTube. Go to YouTube and search Capital Journal. It's also on our Facebook page. We're going to post those interviews today.
All right, good stuff. I appreciate it, Todd. We'll talk after the election.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there he goes, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:26, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this primary runoff eve, right? And, people asking about the sample ballots, and I can been texting those to some folks here. Yeah, so it's runoff tomorrow, and I get this question every time. So we'll go through it, or people will say, "Well, what will happen if you voted?" Okay, and this is something that we've discussed, the big Democrat turnout, right, during the primary. If you turned out, you can't cross over if you voted in the primary. So if you didn't vote in the primary for some reason, you can run, you can vote in the primary runoff, which I guess it doesn't bother me that much, but it has always kind of bothered me that you can come in, you miss the primary, but you can vote in the runoff, but you can. So if you didn't vote in the primary, you can vote in the runoff tomorrow, and you could do either party. But if you voted for Democrat, you voted for Republican in the primary, you can't switch. You can't swap ballots in the runoff. So if you voted back in May, you voted in the primary. Whatever you voted then, you can only vote that primary runoff tomorrow. Right? I think that makes sense. If you didn't, then you can do whatever. Which I guess maybe you're doing something else or whatever, and now you've gotten all fired up. Now you're ready to go for the runoff. Maybe that's a thing. All right, let's see. Let me get a few texts cleared here because we're going to talk about the deal, I guess, with Iran in just a second. Like I'm happy, but I'm worried as well. Yeah, Paul saying crude 74.49. Yeah, it was like 72 earlier, wasn't it? It definitely a drop. Now, how long till that shows up at the pumps? It's going to be a little bit of time, and probably get my buddy Jay Young from King Operating on this week to talk about that. But we'll get into the oil prices and what does that come with? Like we're saying the deal's out there, but there have been some leaked documents. I think it was last week of what may be in the deal, but we don't know what the deal is exactly yet, but we'll run through that in a second. And we got to have the Iranians say they're in, and then we have to have Israel and Hezbollah play ball because that's one of the things that was leaked out last week. Right, B Dark said, Sean, have you ever had a coon for a pet? Don't try it. Never have, probably never will. B Dark, let's see. Hey, got something from Ricky here about the vaccine. There's new stuff coming out here in the investigation. We'll talk about that. Also talk about dropping things. Why they did that on a Friday, I really don't know. Outgoing DNI Director Tulsi Gabbard, we'll play that audio probably. We get a chance here. Talks about gain-of-function research and what was being done. Things that you might have said, well, I knew it. Well, just knowing it and having it confirmed are different things. Tim says, Sean, the part about Jared Hudson saying someone about the reserve units, most of the people that I know that are enlisted have something a little off cuff to say about the National Guard. They actually call them the Nasty Guard. Bucky Beaver said, I'm visually impaired and want to tell you how much I appreciate your radio station. I listen to it every day, and I'm on and on the weekend. Just want to tell you thank you. Well, thank you, Bucky Beaver. Thank you. Appreciate you listening. We got, that's the thing. We got live shows and real people in here every day of the week. It's an anomaly in today's world. We're proud to be the anomaly.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy David McCrary. He's busy today. Let's talk about what people are doing here. David, you're busy with cars, trucks, SUVs. What is it?
A little bit of everything. I mean, we've got two of our three-quarter tons being delivered right now, one diesel, one gas. I just sent you some pictures of the one I'm trying to bait you on.
Okay.
We've got customers. I mean, we've been just busy. We've been at a lot of stuff going on. And we've got some stuff coming. We're trying to buy as much as we can today and tomorrow. So it's a good time to come check us out.
Absolutely. And the nice thing is, you know, y'all are there a bunch. But even if not, if we just show up on the lot, that QR code, you hit that, and then you got that website showing me everything about the vehicle.
Makes it so much easier for everybody. We've had a lot of good responses from that. People saying, you know, that they do come out. I mean, these guys, you know, South Alabama, they work shift work and whatever else, and we don't. So we're at home, and they swing by here to look at a truck or something, especially the trucks, and they can figure out, you know, what engine's in it, what transmission. It's got all that stuff. The window sticker, you know, you got access to Carfax. So it makes it a whole lot easier for everybody involved.
Okay. Well, tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We're third red light on the left. Give us a call, 251-375-0068, or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. There he goes, boss man over at LCM Motor Cars. Get a couple texts read, and then I want to get into this, the Iran deal. The deal. We have a traffic update, too. Thanks, Cheese Wagon. Oh, my gosh. Motorhome trying to go through the bankhead on government is still trying to back out. Oh, gosh. There we go. None of the warnings work. It's just, by the way, the concrete used on the, I guess, the westbound, I guess it's the same on the eastbound, but I always think about it on the westbound side of the Bankhead Tunnel. Has to be a special concrete. Think about the licks it's taken over time, and it's still rocking along. You know, and you'll see some scratches right there on the underside of, but you know, you're heading westbound on the Bankhead and going through to go to Mobile, for those who are a challenge with direction. It just continues to win. All right, let's see. Jerry in Fort Morgan said, if I get Alpha Gal from genetic engineered ticks, I'm going to put Bill Gates in a pot of gumbo. Man, that Alpha Gal, that scares me so much. And if y'all hadn't heard about this, this is a tick-borne disease will make you allergic to, I guess it's the amino acids in the red meat, or any, it's actually, I think, any meat, you could. Some people can have fish, I think, and maybe eggs if they get it. And the irony of it is it hits a lot of outdoorsmen and women, right? We spend a lot of time outside, and a lot of those people are hunters. And then they get in a situation where they can't eat the meat, you know, that they were hunting for. It's that scared Alpha Gal, which I don't know how prevalent it is, and we don't have the tick issues down here that they do in the, you know, elsewhere. Still got them, and it's funny that they're not funny, haha, but funny, strange. Friends of mine, and I have a lot of them that work in the outdoors, whether they're biologists, guides, hunting and fishing, the people that have spent out west, you know, the guides on the rivers out there, hunting guides here. The number of people I know that have gotten a tick-borne illness or more from doing their job, even here in Alabama, it's something. It's I hate to even say anything. This is for Mike. It's like wood. I'll knock on it. Somehow, they don't like me as much. The ticks won't. They now chiggers still like me. And I was talking to a lady at the convenience store out by my house the other day. She said the horse flies came after her more than anybody else because she has type O negative blood. I'd never heard that one before. I don't know if it's scientific. But I wonder if something about the blood, I don't know. I just, thank goodness, and I spend a lot of time in amongst them, and I hadn't had a problem, but it does scare me. Let's see, B-Dark, Sean, if I can make my own vermin, don't you think I can make my own fuel? You're mixing up some unleaded there? What you got? B-Dark, what you making? Let's see, Kana says, I didn't vote in the primary on account. I didn't have two bills of proof of residence to register after my recent move.
thanks to your Wes Allen interview, I discussed Alabama Votes.gov, and now I'm ready to vote tomorrow. Which, thank you. That is, by the way, that is a easy thing, isn't it? AlabamaVotes.gov, it can tell you where your polling place is, all that stuff on there. It's good. Ooh, man. Cheesewagon says there's a huge steel I-beam inside all that concrete where they hit. Well, no wonder it lasts. At least Robert said, I guarantee you, every conversation with an RV going through the Bankhead Tunnel is the husband saying he can make it and the wife saying, please, no. You're probably spot on that. All right, let's talk about the deal or no deal. What do we have here with Iran? Because, you know, President Trump putting this out on Truth Social that we had the deal with Iran. He said we struck a deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's complete. Now, often the president will say things that I would couch my language more, but that's not his way. He said the deal is complete. The immediate removal of the U.S. naval blockade and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Okay. Who seconded this? The negotiation, which, by the way, Pakistan's been on both sides of this, right? They're negotiating with us, but they also, and they sent troops to a Gulf state, which, oh, that's what I want to get. I'm going to play y'all President J.D. Vance here in a second, talking about the Gulf states versus the Gulf Coast. He started scaring me, but I'll get to that in a second. The Pakistanis let Iran store planes in Pakistan to keep them safe. They also sent troops to Gulf states to help protect against the Iranians. But they're also the mediators in this this deal. So Pakistani Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif, which, by the way, cool name. If I had to have on my list, like Sevi Ballesteros is one of them. Shahbaz Sharif is a cool name, if I could have other names. Said both sides agreed to the immediate and permanent cessation of military action, and there will be a formal signing ceremony coming up on Friday. That'd be fun, huh? That'd be icy in that room. Here's my, and I would love a cessation of hostilities. And although I do worry that question that Cameron Smith has posed, you know, which one do you do? Do you leave a state that's still intact, that still has not changed their heart and what they want to do, or the other disgusting option would be to go boots on the ground there? I don't like either of them, but you're pretty much right. We're at a binary choice. So we'll see if the Iranians agree before the formal signing ceremony that the Pakistanis said is on Friday. So Iran still hadn't said yes yet. And that happens a lot, too. We'll get to that. So the agreement is to end hostilities, but it's also to give a negotiating period. I mean, the way this has gone in the past, right? You get optimistic language from the United States, from the Trump administration, claiming, now we got a deal with them, and it's within reach. We're so close. The Iranians are about, they want a deal. We're about to do it. Then the Iranians just don't follow through, right? You never hear anything more. They say no. Maybe over the next 24 hours, fingers crossed here, or sooner, I'll watch the screen here. Well, the oil prices back up. Maybe I missed something. Oil prices, by the way, oil prices back up over 80 right now. So I don't know what happened on that. But maybe we get something here the next 12, 24 hours from the Iranians saying, yeah, we agree. Fingers crossed on that. But then you got to ask, what's in the agreement? What have we agreed to? So what provisions are in this? And there were those leaked drafts last week and the week before. They differed somewhat from each other. But some, like, overall things were in both drafts, right? But once again, these are leaked drafts. I don't know if that's what they're working off or not. But they said it was an interim, I think the language was, this would be an interim agreement or a memorandum of understanding. Everybody loves MOU. Rather than a final statement or a settlement here. It said it would establish, if the deal went through. Now, once again, these are leaked drafts. But if the deal, air quotes here, went through, it would establish a 60-day negotiating period. And then during that 60 days, the U.S. and Iran, I guess we'd go sit back down with the Pakistani overseers there, and we'd attempt to reach a broader and, like, more comprehensive deal. So it's really, the deal would be stop military action, which, like I've been picking on for a while, this is the craziest definition of ceasefire I've ever seen, but we would then have 60 days to work out the bigger deal. Then my question here is on Strait of Hormuz, which is like the leverage the Iranians have, right? they have that. Are they going to give this up just without some bigger concessions? And we'll get to some of the things that have been floated around here. So we remove our blockade. And that's, you know, helping just the idea of it's helped with oil prices till now. It's going back the other way. So we remove. Does that mean the Iranians are going to do their side? It has to be both sides, right? And if they say, yeah, we got a deal, will they let free travel go through the Strait of Hormuz? I mean, for the money, they'll let anybody go through there. But are they going to remove the toll? Say no to tolls, right? And then there's a lot of questions out there, too, about the money, right? I mean, you talk about how much money in seized assets we would have to give the Iranians back, the $25 billion or more. About this. And then I mentioned at the beginning of the show, what about Lebanon? So one of the things that came out in the leaked draft was a permanent secession, I don't know how they word it, but like end of hostilities between Lebanon and Israel. Okay. So you don't have a commitment from either side. Now, Iran would have influence, obviously, over Hezbollah. And I guess we have some influence over Israel. I don't know, but does that stick? All Israel would have to do is go, you know, somewhere south or north of the Litani River and an attack, and then it's all over, right? So this deal we're constructing is dependent on Hezbollah chilling and Israel chilling. Does that stick? I hope so. Like I said, I'm fingers crossed, hope we have an end of this. But we already have 13 Americans dead, many more wounded in this. The economic provision side of it, too, they were saying that would include like a sanction relief for Iran. So these sanctions have been on for a long time. Those would be lifted. It would allow, with the naval blockade stopping, Iran could sell oil again. So money's going to come back in there. But none of the drafts I saw gave me anything real positive of what I was told the whole time. And like we've been told for 30 years, the Iranians were just about to make a nuclear weapon, right? Remember, that was the whole thing? Strait of Hormuz and all that stuff is a big deal right now. But wasn't the core of this about Iran's intention to develop nuclear weapons? Now, they're saying they'd have to. So, and by the way, the Iranian regime is, for all those decades too, said they weren't trying to develop nuclear weapons. Now, that would involve me believing what the Iranians said. So if we have an agreement, and at least according to the United States and the PM of Pakistan, the negotiators, we have a deal. Maybe something happens here, permanent ceasefire, reopening the strait. But like we would then, the Iranians, you know, part of the deal would be like, what, we would start just monitoring that they weren't going to enrich their uranium more? I mean, how much do you trust them on this? And are we just doing this for 5 years and we're back in the same place? I don't know. I don't know what's in the deal. I hope the president is correct on this. So, do you think Iran's going to say, you know what? Yeah, you can, not only we're not going to enrich, you can have all the, you know, the fissile material, all the nuclear material we have. I just don't. I don't feel that happening, but strange things happen. So we talk about this, grab some text when we come back. It's the deal. The president is at the G7 summit, so he's talking with European leaders as well. A deal would be great. What's it going to look like, and will it stick? And will the Iranians even agree to it in the first place?
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah. Right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Rainy week coming. Bunch of it on the way. Felt like I got away. I got away with something, right? This weekend, I went out and camped out. Spent time around Dolphin Island, and beautiful, beautiful. Had a little rough sleeping on the boat Saturday night, but that west wind. But still, no rain. Now we got all week. It's rare. Folks that do
outside stuff. Can y'all agree with me? Like, it can be beautiful all week while you're working. You're just, like, looking forward to the weekend. You go do something outside, and then you get hosed. Yeah. It wasn't this weekend. It was a good one. I'll get to the text in a second. I do want to play this audio. So this is something from – this is from CBS this morning. And it's Vice President Vance talking about the deal with Iran. And so we'll hear that. I mean, there's some context in here for the deal. And what he projects the Iranians would do with it, I think it's probably spot on. But he uses a term. I think he wants to say Gulf states. But this is worrisome to me. Okay, go cut one.
Walk through some of this. The Iranians are saying that they're going to have access to a $300 billion reconstruction fund. True or false?
Well, Ed, that's the sort of thing they could have access to, funded by the Gulf Coast Coalition.
Wait. Gulf Coast Coalition? Okay, go ahead.
So long as they honor their end of the obligation. I think that one of the things you're going to see, Ed, and people have to be skeptical of this, is that the hardliners in the Iranian system will overemphasize the benefits that Iran gets while underemphasizing all the things that they have to concede and all the things they have to provide in order to get these benefits. So we absolutely are open to the Gulf Coast countries investing in the reconstruction of Iran, but only if Iran ends their nuclear program, ends their enriched stockpile of material, and is really open to an inspections and enforcement regime that gives the American people confidence right. They're never going to have a nuclear weapon. So I think the dance you're going to see, Ed, which is going to be interesting, is the Iranian media, especially the hardline media, they're going to talk a lot about what they get without talking about what they give. It's important for all of us to correct that record.
I 100% agree with Vice President. Of course they will. I mean, they're going to say, hey, we've made out like a bandit. We'd have to actually see the deal to see who did best in it. I am worried, though, that twice in there, our vice president, I know it's a slip up. I do it, too. But I was listening to the clip, you know, and I was like, did he just say the Gulf Coast states are not? No, I don't. I'm not signed. Obviously, he means Gulf states. But he said Gulf Coast states like twice in there. And I was very worried that like. Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, that we're paying for this thing. Don't go run off and tell your friends that we are. It's a joke. We did see Gulf Coast states twice in there. It really worried me. All right, text here. Michael said, I'm really hopeful that the peace deal will last, but I doubt it. Even this morning, Israeli leaders are saying, quote, we must continue destroying the houses in southern Lebanon. We must continue pushing the residents away from southern Lebanon, end quote. Unless America cuts off ties to Israel, this deal won't last because of them. I mean, that's a worrisome part, right? Now, we don't know really what's in this deal. Like I said, I'm just working off those two leaked things. And, you know, if I'm an intelligence officer, I would leak things that weren't true to try to put pressure on the other side, right? I don't know if it's a real leak or, like I said, if I'm in intelligence, I'm floating out, oh, you got me, I leaked the thing and it's not even the right thing. That's kind of what I would do. But a deal that we have to depend, the whole deal, and you have to depend on Hezbollah and Lebanon and Israel ceasing hostilities, it's worrisome. David in Fairhope said, Sean, for those keeping score at home, Obama's $1.78 billion in unfrozen assets and cash for 98% reduction in uranium and limited enrichment to 3.7%. Trump, $24 billion in unfrozen cash and assets, $300 billion reconstruction fund that you just heard the discussion about there, lifted sanctions in exchange for open straits under Iran for Omani control. Well, either way, we're taking them cash, right? Do we trust that? I mean, that is the tough. It's the toughest question. I think Cameron leveled a great question that we've talked about many times on this show. Do you think it's like the end of a sitcom, seriously, where the Iranians will go, like if we make a deal with them, they get cash coming back in from oil, they get unfrozen assets, they get, well, thanks, America, we really learned our lesson. We won't ever do that again. You know how at the end of the show, thanks, Dad, you really taught me a thing there. I mean, come on. So then that's out of one side of my mouth, but then the other side of my mouth says, my God, I do not want to put our forces there. So what do you do?
C.B. Carl said, Sean, we need to remember that the Iranians' religion says it's perfectly fine to lie to infidels like us. Yeah, you could lie to it. I mean, it's you know what? It's what did Reagan say? Trust but verify. How about this one? Don't trust but verify. Let's see. B-Dark says, if it's a seven-year peace treaty, you better be ready. Fire Dog said, I can pitch in $25 to help rebuild Iran. Don't give them any ideas for the Gulf Coast. Yeah, Pat said he did say Gulf Coast countries at last. Yes, but he twice said Gulf Coast states or the Gulf Coast. I'm like, listen, I'm not footing the bill for this whole thing. Sorry. All right, be right back. Admiral Kent Davis joins us.